Good morning. The Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to begin at verse 28, and it's, if you're following in the Church Bible, it's on page 977. Page 977, Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Prior to these couple of verses I'm going to read, Jesus has been moving around towns in Galilee. And he has just issued a severe warning to people who, having had plenty of evidence to show who he really was and is, have doggedly determined to reject him, and even worse, attributed what they have seen him do to the devil. Then he spends time in prayer with his Heavenly Father, and then he turns to the crowd again, and he issues this wonderful invitation, which stands for every generation to come. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks to Kaz for the introduction. But my name's Luke. I am a student at the Bible College down the road at SMBC, and I'll be preaching this morning. I just lost my voice during the week. I managed to get through 9 a.m., so hopefully it'll last the next 15 minutes. We can get through 10:30 as well. Before I start, why don't I pray? Our Father, thank you that you've given us your word. Thank you that you've given us your word in Jesus, who came to reveal you to us so that we can know you and so that in you we can have rest. Amen. During the 9 o'clock service, my iPad broke, which was extremely distressing for a minute. Thankfully, I have it on my phone, but I'll just get this ready here in case it happens again. It was extremely stressful. I wonder what rest means to you. Do you think about it often? Do you feel like you're well rested on this daylight savings morning? When was the last time that you felt well rested? Can you remember? Well, when it comes to rest, I'm starting to think that our society is pretty messed up about it, actually. Because on the one hand, we get told all the time how important rest is. We get told we need a good work-life balance. We know how important it is to let our bodies recover and to let our minds recover. We get warned about burnout. We get endless advice about how to sleep better, half of it contradictory. But on the other hand, we live in a society that tells us we have no value without output. You're valuable for what you contribute. You are what you achieve. We put a dollar value on people's time, and it becomes a status symbol. In a world where time is money, we have made busyness into a virtue. A virtue. Have you ever had that sort of conversation that turns into a busyness competition? We go, oh, how was your week? Oh, I'm really busy. Oh, yeah, me too, you know. And it's good to be busy, right? You don't want to be idle. I know all about this because before I was studying at college, I was a maths teacher. If you know any teachers, you know there's no surer way to wind up a teacher than by pointing out how many holidays we get, right? Have you heard this? Oh, you guys get 12 weeks of holidays. Well, actually, it's 10 and a half to start with if you're a public school teacher. And we'll immediately tell you how we spend the whole time programming or reporting or timetabling or something. And we'll tell you about all the extra week hours we put in the week. And in short, we're trying to prove to you that we're valuable, that we contribute, that we deserve what we get paid. And we do it by pointing out how busy we are. Right? As a teacher, I don't measure my value in how many young minds I've inspired or how many frightened 12-year-olds I've turned into confident adults. No, I measure it in hours per week. It's madness. We know that rest is important, but we live in a society that tells us that busy equals good. And we wonder why we have problems with rest. But it doesn't end there, of course, because when we do eventually rest, when we finally stop, so often it doesn't work. Have you noticed this? Have you ever done some sort of leisure activity, something simple like watching TV or scrolling through Facebook for half an hour or flipping through a magazine or playing a video game? And have you ever done something like that and then after that felt worse? Has that ever happened to you? What's that about? Where did we go wrong? Rest seems like it should be such a simple concept. Why are we all so tired? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? We just listen, we're like, oh yeah, Jesus says stuff like that all the time. What if it was true? Right? These three little verses claim to succeed where 1,000 self-help books have failed. What's the secret? Well, this passage says one thing about rest, just one. After hours of study, these last few weeks, this is what I've discovered. Are you ready? This is it. Rest is in Jesus. That's it. That's what this passage means. We can go home now. Sing the last song. Maybe you're hoping for something a bit more profound. Seems a bit simple for hours of sermon prep. But come with me, because actually this is anything but simple. And the next words hint at something that is truly profound. What does Jesus say? Come to me, and I will give you rest. And then what? Take my yoke. Right? Take my yoke. Is that a joke? Right? What sort of rest is that? Have you ever seen cattle drawing a yoke? Doesn't look very restful. This is weird, right? Maybe you're used to hearing this passage, you've heard it a lot, but it's weird. And even if you are used to it, I spoke to at least one person this week who they'd always assumed that Jesus said, come to me, I will give you rest, I will take your yoke, right? That makes sense. Jesus is like, I'm gonna take your yoke and then you can rest. And that's what we want, right? That's not what the passage said, but you can't hardly blame that person. That makes sense. I will give you rest. Take my yoke. What does he mean? Well, rest is in Jesus. Remember, that's my only point this morning. Rest is the whole of life in Jesus. See, when you get right down to it, rest, it's not just about sorting out your priorities. It's not that you just need to get the balance exactly right. It's that you need a new master. Right? In the end, getting rest is not about working less. It's about changing who you work for. Rest is in living, working, resting for Jesus. And before we go any further, this is not leading up to some sucker punch where I tell you you have to volunteer for church more. That's not where this is going. And besides, it's actually bigger than that anyway. See, Jesus has changed the scope of the discussion. See, now we're talking about rest on two different levels. On one level, there's what we normally think of, the day-to-day cycle of effort and recovery, the cycle of waking and sleeping, of work and leisure, the work-life balance, right? We need that. We work, we get tired, we need to rest. But on another level, there's living a restful life, right? You know those people? When everything's chaotic and they're still really calm. having a sense of peace that pervades everything, work and rest. Jesus knows that this is what we need. We need it first if we're ever going to work out this rest thing. He asks, "You want rest? Come to me. Come and work for me." In modern speak, Jesus offers rest as a lifestyle. Rest is in Jesus. Feel the force of that expand. Now look, that's all very well in theory, and it sounds great. Imagine a peaceful life. I saw a quote on the internet, see if I can remember it, where it was something like, play until you're tired, and then rest until you're ready to play again, and never do anything else, right? The whole idea was that you should enjoy your work, which is like play, and then when you get tired, you should rest, and when you're done resting, you should go back to play again. And I was like, wow, that would be awesome. Like, imagine if you enjoyed your job that much where all you did was ever rest and play. It seems like so unattainable, it's almost laughable. But Jesus says that working for him, living for him, is rest. How does that actually work? Sometimes the Christian life just seems like hard work, to be honest. How does working for Jesus equal rest? Well, I think the passage gives us two hints. Two hints why having Jesus as your master gives you a restful life. First hint, Jesus offers us a yoke. But what does he say about it? What does he say about it? "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus offers us a yoke, but it's light. Why? Because he's gentle and humble in heart. I know this firsthand. You see, because at the start of this year, I wasn't living for Jesus. I might have looked like I was. I was here, sitting in the pew. I was at Bible college, but I wasn't. If the thing that determines how you allocate all your time is your master, then my master was my college grades. By any meaning of the word, my entire life revolved around my college grades. Now, what I'm going to tell you might not sound that shocking, particularly. Maybe it will. Hopefully it will. Maybe because we're just used to this. We're used to squeezing Jesus to the margins, putting him on Sunday, or even less. But if he's to be our master, he should influence the way our whole life runs. See, whether I was working or not on college things, it was the thing that guided all my decisions. I was always thinking about the next thing I had to do, the next essay, the next exam preparation. My priority at college wasn't learning as much as I could about God and his word. I didn't really focus on that at all. It wasn't prayer. It wasn't even developing my skills as a preacher. My priority was getting high distinctions. It's as bald as that. I didn't care how borderline they were, so long as it said HD on the transcript. It's so stupid. And it feels pretty dumb to say it out loud just like that, to be honest. But it ruled my life. And it put pressure on my family. I want to make all sorts of excuses there, like I still looked after them. We still love each other. But the fact of the matter is, they weren't my first priority. They weren't. And neither was Jesus. I was a Christian, but only by the grace of God. Because, in fact, I had dethroned God. As I said, if that doesn't shock you, it should. I'm training at Bible college. I'm preaching to you now, right? But I didn't serve Jesus. Is it really that easy to end up serving another God? And it wasn't pleasant. Maybe some of you know what it's like to idolize your work. The God of college grades is an unforgiving master. It was like living in an iron cage. My whole life was directed to end of semester exams. I was never free from the pressure. And sometimes I was rewarded with good marks, and sometimes I wasn't, but it was never enough. And the stupid thing was, I had long since stopped enjoying college. And yet there I was, day after day, with my nose to the grindstone, serving a God who didn't in the least bit care for me. Weary and burdened is what I was. And then in June, in the space of a 10-minute conversation, my life changed. All the pressure was gone. Why? I decided to stop serving the God of marks and start serving Jesus again. And to be honest, from the outside, maybe it doesn't look like much has changed. I'm still doing my college work. But in reality, my whole life has changed. My whole reason for doing anything and everything at college has changed. And that burden I was carrying has lifted. It's like I'm walking on air. See, I found the truth in these three short verses. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Why is Jesus different? He describes himself as gentle and humble in heart. His yoke is light because he loves us. Jesus is nothing like these other gods and idols that we serve. He is not harsh and unforgiving. There is rest in Jesus because there is no fear in his service. Why? Because while you were still his enemy, he loved you enough to die for you. I had no rest because I was driven by the need for achievement. But Jesus loved me before I achieved anything, for him or otherwise. What is it for you? What gives you stress? What robs you of peace? What keeps you humming even when you're trying to relax? Are you driven by a fear of failure? Come to Jesus. He loved you at your very worst. He has grace for all your failings. Are you driven by the need for acceptance? Come to Jesus. He accepted you before you did a single thing to impress him. He loves you. There's nothing in the world that can change that. Or are you slaving every day, terrified that people will find out who you really are? Terrified that people will work out your inadequacies? Come to Jesus. He knows all your secret failings. You can't hide any of that from him, and he loves you anyway. Can you see all these things? Striving for achievement, fear of failure, trying to impress others. You don't have to play that game anymore. You don't have to play that game. Can you feel the lightness of Jesus' burden? How does working for Jesus equal rest? This is one way. He is gentle and humble in heart. He loves us. There is rest in Jesus because there is no fear in his service. But what's the other hint from this passage? Well, it actually comes from the verse beforehand, verse 27. Thanks for that lovely intro that you gave the passage, Pat. If you have your Bible open, read verse 27 with me. Matthew 11, verse 27. This is Jesus speaking again. What does he say? All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Do you see that? All things have been committed to Jesus by the Father. Not only does Jesus love him, but all things are in his hands. He is the boss of everything, and he has guaranteed the future. He is in control, which means we can trust him. There is rest in Jesus because we can trust him for the future. Do you see how important this is? So many of the worries and the cares and the stresses that we have are about future things, many of which are not in our control. What does Jesus say? In the Gospel of John, he says this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome the world. And one day, he will return in glory to bring us home. Jesus is the power that guarantees the future. What robs you of rest? Is it the pressure of trying to achieve financial security? Is it money that dogs your thoughts? Trying to break into the property market? Planning for retirement? Or is it just trying to pay your next electricity bill? Come to Jesus. He has overcome the world. Do today's work today, make your plans as best you can, and then leave the future in his hands. Or is it maybe that your life just seems completely out of control? Maybe you have a child that won't sleep, or you're caring for elderly parents. You can't take a holiday from your family. You can't remember the last time you felt rested. Maybe you're anxious and worried because of mental illness. Many of you may have busy, anxious, and tired lives through no fault of your own. And all the advice from the world about how, oh, you just need to relax, take some time off, almost feels like an insult. It's like it comes from a different world. You don't need self-help. You need hope. What does Jesus say? Come to me, and I will give you rest. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In the middle of the worst the present can throw at you, it's Jesus who guarantees the future. Rest is in Jesus because we can trust him with the future, and rest is in Jesus because there's no fear in his service. Remember, I said there are two levels to this discussion, two registers we can talk about rest. First, there's the day-to-day cycle of work and rest, play and effort. And second, there's this peace and restfulness as a whole of life thing. And that second level, that top level, if you like, that's the one that you have to sort out first. And that's what Jesus is on about. That's what he means when he says, I will give you rest, take my yoke. Give up your other yokes. Come work, rest, live. Live for me. Stop serving your other masters, whether it's ambition or pride or perfectionism or the need to achieve or fear of failure, or craving for acceptance or keeping up with the Joneses or pretending that you're something that you aren't. Get rid of them. They're harsh, unforgiving masters. They won't leave you alone and they won't give you rest. Come to Jesus. Come to the one who will give you rest, the rest of unconditional love and certain hope. Now, it's true you have to sort out that second level first, but it's worth saying a few things about that first level, day-to-day rest. And, well, I'm not really qualified to give advice on this stuff. I'm not a life coach. I'm not a personal trainer. So I'll keep it brief, but I think the passage itself has two maybe implications for that cycle of work and rest. Rest is in Jesus, right? Two implications. One, take rest, right? Actually do it. Rest regularly, on a schedule even. Rest is in Jesus, right? So if you're in Jesus, you recognize that you don't have to hold up the world by yourself. It's an acceptance of our God-given limits, and it's also an expression of trust in Jesus. If you stop working, the whole world isn't going to fall in a heap. We're built for rest. When my workaholism was at its worst, I'm sure the only thing that kept me sane was the fact that I didn't work on Sundays. I don't think that's a legalistic rule that every Christian needs to follow, but that's what I did. I didn't work on Sundays. And I resented Sundays. I really did. Because I knew I wouldn't be able to get anything done. And I thought, there's a whole day that I'm wasting, right? I hated them. But I also loved them. And I looked forward to them. Because they were the only time I was ever free of that pressure. Take rests. The second thing is, seek out Jesus for rest. Now, I'm not saying all your leisure time should be spent in prayer. Of course not. What I'm getting at is we approach our quiet times with the same kind of business-like mindset that we do the rest of our lives. We decide who we need to pray for, what passages we're going to read, what questions we want to answer. When was the last time You just went to rest with Jesus. When was the last time you wanted to do your quiet time? When was the last time you went without any agenda, with nothing particular to say, but just to be with him, to enjoy his love, to let him refresh you, to rest in him? See, I wonder, maybe this is a bit of a digression, but I wonder how much of what passes for our leisure is really just distraction. Right? You spend an hour scrolling through Facebook, and it leaves you feeling worse because you didn't really want to do that. You got distracted, and now you've wasted an hour. And you would have been better off lying on the grass with the sun on your face, watching the wind blow the leaves, and maybe wordlessly thanking God for his creation. When was the last time you did that? What sort of mad world do we live in where we give ourselves permission to spend hours on Facebook every day? But the thought of lying in the sun for an hour just seems like an idle waste. That's a bit of a digression maybe, but my point is this. Seek out Jesus for rest. Doesn't have to be every time you rest. Doesn't have to be all your leisure. But don't treat your quiet times like a chore. Treat them as a chance to recharge, as a break from the frenetic pace of modern life. And if that means you have to change the way you do your quiet time, well, that's allowed. Start seeking Jesus for rest. Rest is in Jesus. It's in a life lived for Jesus because he loves you enough to die for you and because you can trust him with the future. He is the King who's coming to bring you home. Are you weary and burdened? Come to Jesus. Come to the one who will give you rest, the one who promises peace, a peace built on his unconditional love for you. Come and find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come into this world. When we were still your enemies, you came to show us the Father. You came to die to save us, Lord, and you have risen back to life, and now you reign. Lord, thank you so much that we can come to you. We can come and live for you. We can come and work for you. And in all that, there's no fear because we know how much you love us. And we know that we can trust you for everything. Lord, thank you for the peace and the rest that you give us. May we always seek it in you. Amen.